Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News and stuff. Right after this, some thoughts on principles that you and I can live by? Absolutely. You know, our intimacy with God, how's that going, by the way? His highest priority for our lives determines the impact of our lives. You obey God and leave all the consequences in this old world to Him, something that we're going to have to do more and more in the days ahead, or you'll get really frustrated. God's word is an immovable anchor in times of the storm, and storms will come, and they will come often, especially if you're doing the will of God. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work, whatever that is today. You reap what you sow, you've heard that, more than you sow, and later than you sow. The dark moments of our life will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish His purpose in our life. And trusting God, I'm done, means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Isn't that good stuff? Again, a big thank you for being here on Hello World. You are such a blessing, and I think I love you. What in the world is going on? Sickos running wild. Georgia police said they worked extra hard to prove that a man was guilty of trying to poison his newborn baby daughter after he retracted his confession. Curtis Jack of South Fulton is accused of a heinous act after he impregnated his co-worker in 2022. The mother of the baby said that the man had tried to get her to abort the child for the entire 9 months of the pregnancy, nearly daily. After the child was born, the mother asked Jack to help because she was forced to stay in the hospital over birth complications. He was asked to pick up a couple of bottles of breast milk from the mother and deliver it to the child's grandmother. And boy, the child fell critically ill very soon thereafter, and detectives discovered that this man delivered more than milk. He admitted he had put antifreeze in order to avoid paying any child support. Demons running wild. Man is so wicked, isn't he? Let's go out to the West Coast. California police investigating a bizarre alleged home invasion that was thwarted by an armed homeowner and led to one suspect getting shot. The other committed suicide. The Newport Beach Police Department said they were called to the site of a possible home invasion at 4:45 yesterday morning. The caller had indicated to police that someone in the home had shot one of two suspects involved in that invasion. When they arrived, they found a man with multiple gunshot wounds outside with a shotgun next to him. The man was transported to a local hospital for treatment. He is expected to survive. Police then began a search for the second suspect in the invasion, and they found him hiding in some bushes near the home. A short time later, he was found to have apparently killed himself by shooting himself in the head. Wow, that is strange. Down in Texas, a man died there in a shootout with police after a traffic stop, and he was live streaming that on Facebook while he was talking to his sister on the phone. Officers said they pulled over 47-year-old Patrick Hurst down there in Houston. He led police on a short chase before he shot at police. They returned fire and killed him. The live stream video clearly shows him holding a gun before stepping out of the car to confront police. Seems like everyone following that story out in Kansas. Details from probable cause affidavits against the four suspects charged with first-degree murder in the disappearance of Veronica Butler and a pastor's wife, Jillian Kelly, suggest the two women might have suffered a violent death as investigators worked to identify two bodies they recovered on Sunday. Investigators who found evidence suggesting foul play in the women's disappearance announced over the weekend that they had arrested four people in connection with that disappearance, including the paternal grandmother. What a wicked 54-year-old woman. Huh? That's what they're going to find out. All four individuals arrested in Texas and charged with two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, one count of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. I'll say it again. Jeremiah's right. The heart is desperately wicked. People get so mad, so angry, they just kill one another. A potential juror in President Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York City spoke to the media shortly after she was excused from that pool. highlighting the serious mood inside that courtroom. Definitely very serious, said former potential juror Carrie McGee, who works in cybersecurity. Everyone was really taking it upon themselves to step in and do civic duty here, regardless of what people came into thinking about the defendant. McGee said that she told the court that she could serve as a juror in an unbiased manner, while noting in her comments to the media that it would be very difficult for anyone really in this country not to come to this without some prior opinions. And see, that's the problem. We all have prior opinions on the defendant, unless they've been living in a shoebox. McGee said she was excused from the pool due to scheduling conflicts with her employment in cybersecurity. I'm not a fan, McGee added, of her personal thoughts on Donald Trump. But still, some really strange things going on, you betcha. Warning, USA, don't you dare. What? Iran's president has vowed to completely destroy Israel, completely, should it proceed with even the tiniest little invasion of its country. Huh. Now, they just shot 300 drones and missiles at Israel, and you better not respond. The president spoke Wednesday at an annual army parade, warning Israel of a massive and a harsh response as the country braces for potential Israeli retaliation after Iran's missile and drone attack over the weekend. They launched hundreds of missiles and drones at Israel on Saturday in response to an apparent strike on Iran's embassy compound in Syria on April the 1st that killed 12 people, including two high-ranking Iranian generals. Middle East, gonna be on fire forever till Jesus comes. The Supreme Court yesterday heard arguments in a challenge to the criminal prosecution of a Pennsylvania man, Joseph Fisher, for entering the Capitol on January the 6th, way back in 2021. Lurking in the background is the fact that the outcome of this case could affect the pending federal indictment against former President Donald Trump in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia. Although the case that the court heard Tuesday is about what happened on January the 6th, the court isn't going to decide whether January the 6th was a peaceful protest or an insurrection. Instead, the court agreed to hear Fisher's case to decide a different question, namely, whether Fisher can be prosecuted under a federal law that forbids corruptly obstructing an official proceeding. That whole thing was such a... It continues to be and will be the rest of your lifetime, my friend. A California public school district has attempted to hide pro-Hamas course material from moms and dads. They now face legal action. The Deborah Project, which describes itself as a public interest law firm that defends the civil rights of Jews in education, filed this suit April the 8th against the Berkeley Unified School District, accusing it of intentionally trying to prevent parents from knowing what their kids were learning. That's something. The lawsuit filed in Amita County in the Superior Court there also accuses the school system of teaching kids mendacious and malicious lies about Hamas's terrorist attack on Israel that are grossly inaccurate and on the basis of false information fomenting hatred against the Jewish state. Welcome to the new America. Well, I listened to her the night she won the national championship. The coach of the South Carolina basketball team for women. A coalition whose goal includes censoring select Christians who make reference to their personal faith has demanded the University of South Carolina censor its women's basketball coach. But officials with the Rutherford Institute have volunteered to help defend the school from the attack by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The fight is over comments by Dawn Staley, the coach of the Gamecocks, which came after the team defeated Oregon State last month to advance to the NCAA Final Four. The team later won the whole thing. Staley was interviewed and was asked, since the last two games have been close and tough, what's impressed you most about the team? She praised the players' resilience and added, I'm giving all the glory to God, though. The devastating loss that we had last year to put us back here with a totally different team. If you don't believe in God, something's wrong with you. Seriously, I'm a believer. I'm a believer because he makes things come true. When you're at your worst, God is at his best. Oh, that really infuriated them. Well, that's a good message. You know, the church is so messed up today. The church is so much like the world in many instances, especially as you go to the bigger, bigger ones. Mark Driscoll has been forced to defend himself after he was temporarily asked to leave the stage at the James River Church's Stronger Men's Conference in Missouri for calling a performance by an aerial sword swallower an admitted male stripper. Can you imagine? In church, which opened the conference, he called it the Jezebel spirit. I mean, that this would even be considered in any church setting is just unbelievable. Male stripper in church for a Stronger Men's Conference. Where is my gun, Charlie Brown? NBC, how much are you paying? Oh, $1 billion ad extravaganza for starters. Talking about the Olympics, it starts in 100 days. Are you excited? Yesterday, actors in Greece paid homage to the ancient history and lit the torch that's now on its way to Paris. With the official symbol of the games up in flames, lots of things to be excited about, they say, especially for America this year, and la-da-da-da-da-da. Olympics, I seldom watch them. How about you? Big, devastating fire in Sweden yesterday, and they say so sad. An iconic building that means so much to all of us. Our own Notre Dame moment here. Yesterday, a fire engulfed Copenhagen's 17th century old stock exchange, destroying its iconic dragon tail spire. The building, which became the headquarters for the Danish Chamber of Commerce, is a city landmark and a treasured piece of Denmark's history, so much so that the nation's defense minister likened its destruction to the fire that damaged Paris's Notre Dame almost 5 years ago to the day. They were able to get there, get a lot of the fire out, and many of the valuable paintings and antiques were saved as emergency personnel and passerbys rushed into the building to get this stuff out. They're already planning to rebuild it, of course. Oh, you're planning a trip abroad? Well, good. You're going to need to get in line, and that line will probably be at the Dubai airport. The latest ranking of the world's busiest airports is now out, and while the Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International kept its number one spot last year, Dubai moved up to number two from number five the year before. And for international travelers, Dubai actually takes the top slot. But here in America, it used to be Chicago's air all the time. Now it's Atlanta. What else is happening? University of Southern California. Oh, they canceled a valedictorian speech by a student who had publicly supported Palestine, citing safety concerns. I would think so. A second member of Congress has signed on to the effort to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson as he tries to get aid for Ukraine and Israel passed, and it's a mess. Volkswagen employee is going to begin voting today on whether to join the United Auto Workers for the first big test of the union's power since it won favorable contracts from Detroit's big three manufacturers. Update on your high school date spots. TGI Fridays is going public through a merger with its UK franchisee. And Red Lobster is considering, what? Bankruptcy. To deal with all the debt they have. I didn't know that. Red Lobster? The WNBA draft. Hey, 600,000's the most that's ever watched the NBA draft. And now with Caitlin Clark and others and women's basketball getting so popular, it averaged 2.4 million viewers, a 307% increase from last year. Oh, things are changing. This new America. It's not my grandma or mama's America, is it? Everything's different today. This sounds like a fun business. At a waste management facility in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, workers load incinerated trash into industrial machinery that, well, separates and sorts metals and then sends them to get hosed down. You know what the reward is? Buckets of quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies, believe it or not. Americans, this is hard to believe, toss as much as $68 million worth of coins away each year. The Sustainable Waste Processing Company is on a treasure hunt to find that money. The company says that in the 7 years since it started its efforts, it's collected at least $10 million worth of coins. You folks from Oklahoma will find this one interesting. There is a developer out in Oklahoma. Hard to believe. Move over, New York. This developer plans a 1,907-foot tower overlooking the sprawl and the farmland there in Oklahoma. Some people burst out. It's going to cost $1.6 billion building America's tallest skyscraper. Not in a major city. East Coast, West Coast. Nope. Going to do it out there in Oklahoma. Do you think that it will... Come on now. You think it will really happen? Hey, I think this is a good analogy.
If 20 people work at a bank, all the people are stealing money from the bank, and they all know each other are stealing money from the bank, and they do not say anything. And then a new bank president comes in to fix these things. The 20 people in the bank are going to do anything they can to stop this new president, right? Welcome to Washington, D.C.
And finally, for all you fans of The Lion King, hey, do you remember when Scar cheated to win the title as king? And the land was then overrun by outsiders? And the lions lost everything? I mean everything? Just asking, no real reason. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this.
Just stop by. Well, welcome on board. I'm Greg Patton, host of Hello World. News, information, comment, heavy on the opinion side, Bible, a little bit of everything on this Christian radio station every day at this time. And we want to thank you for being a part, and thank you for joining me on Facebook. It's a big deal. Every day, more and more joining us, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And if you have a request, just send her on down the line. I love to see and hear you Facebookers praying for one another all across the country. It's a big deal. God bless you and thank you so very much. Tell others about Hello World and join us every day at this time. Lord, we're having some problems here, and trouble abounds on every front, and gotta tell you, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be thankful. What does your word say? You think that's a mistake in the Bible? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks." Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some scriptures like this one just leave us thinking, do they not? Come on now. There must be a misinterpretation here. God couldn't possibly mean what this passage says because nobody could meet that standard. I mean, ever, right? He really cannot expect me to be thankful. I'm getting hurt here. I'm in dire straits. This is the worst time in my life. In everything, give thanks. Come on. And yet, this verse clearly indicates that God wants every believer to express gratitude. Thanksgiving was never intended to be a seasonal thing, but was meant to be a way of life every day for a child of God. Still, expressing gratitude seems like, well, this is just too difficult in certain situations. You are not working. You know, as well as I do, that there's one story after another out there today as a result of our
government, finances, health, all that stuff.
You know, God understands we don't always feel grateful. But thanking God has nothing to do with your feelings. Thanking God is an act of your will. Give thanks. And then, why and how can I thank Him when there's all this pain going on in my life? You know, a reason that God says to thank Him in all circumstances is because thanksgiving has such a powerful impact on every aspect of your Christian walk. For one thing, expressing our gratitude means that we are talking to God. You're talking to Him one-on-one. Staying in communication with Him keeps us mindful of His presence in our life and the fact that you're not alone. You're never alone. Good times, bad times, in-between times, you are never alone. Thanking God also motivates us to look for His purpose in our circumstance. Simply realizing that He has a purpose can take the edge off our pain and infuse us with strength when we are wearied by life's troubles, adversities. And another thing, thanking God reminds us of our constant dependence upon Him for everything, 24/7. When we start to feel adequate in ourselves, we have a tendency to think that we can handle matters without Him. But when we feel trapped and helpless, we can thank him for being our only hope in this old world, and we can gradually submit our wills to him. That takes some time. And what's more, thanking God gives our Christian witness a very powerful impact. I shared before that we went over $1 million in debt in hospital bills and to 22 different healthcare providers in 2012 when my wife became nearly fatally ill. What a time that was. I mean, we will never dig out of this hole in the rest of our lifetime on this earth, but it certainly reflected on people. They could not believe our attitude. You know, when friends wonder why we can show gratitude during times of hardship, we have an opportunity to respond. Because Jesus Christ has promised to be my sufficiency and meet my every need. He is doing just that, and he's enabling me moment by moment even to survive. So, though his instruction at first glance seems impossible, we do indeed see an all-wise God saying, in everything, give thanks. And one more thing, you know, every one of us has the potential to influence other people. Sure, I don't care who you are listening today. One way we do this is by purposeful impact. Purposeful impact. For example, to grow godly children, parents specifically instruct them about the reliability of the Bible and reverence for God and the priority of obedience to him. And in this way, biblical truths are intentionally imparted to the next generation. And there's also a second way, passive influence, whereby a person simply puts faith into practice in front of other people. You know, if you want to do the greatest thing possible for your children, live a godly life before them. Take the time to influence the family deliberately, teaching them biblical truths and principles, but also demonstrate those principles in your life. Children will never forget the way you handled yourself in the midst of adversity, how you showed others respect, or the manner in which you prayed. These things impact your life, and it impacts theirs as well. When kids see you do something generously, do you think they will ever forget that? Can they fail to recall that they heard you talking about your love and your concern for other people, and that they saw you weep with compassion over someone else's heartaches and troubles? The Spirit of God takes your life and penetrates theirs with salt and light. The principle likewise holds true with co-workers and acquaintances today. As they observe you today, your life will influence theirs for either good or bad. Therefore, be certain your life is pure and right, so it will make a positive impact, and pray, Lord, let my day count today. Lord, I want to live my life through you. And let my conversation and my conduct and my character reflect Jesus Christ.
Hey, I haven't asked you yet today, huh? You know Christ as Savior? Ever been born again, my friend? Well, praise the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Something you've got to do. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and invite Jesus Christ into your life today. Oh, what a, this is the day the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. This will be the greatest day of your life, my friend. And a couple of thoughts in closing. Are you the boss? Well, good for you. You know, being the boss is like running a cemetery. You've got a lot of people under you, but nobody is listening. And boy, is this one true. I mean, for everybody listening, if you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble in life, you wouldn't sit down for a month. And the headlines from a fashion magazine here, I thought he was going to kill me. One woman's harrowing misunderstanding of how haircuts work.
I'm Ad Bussay for another day. You've been listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. Very grateful to have you present every day at this time. Tell someone about the broadcast and join us again tomorrow, same time, same place. Greg Patton, by the way, Facebook. Oh, I love it. And thank you for being there more and more every day. Greg, Jerry G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N.
And that's the way it is. Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024. I'm Greg Patton. God bless. Have a great day.